Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show, live from Los Angeles, I'm Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin Cowherd. Happy Labor Day. Gottlieb laboring, Cowherd not. That's the way it rolls. Your college football season is underway. NFL season, a mere days from being underway. We can recap and review what we saw so far in the two previous days. And, of course, we got more football today from the college side. And we'll get you ready for the NFL's opening weekend, which gets underway this Thursday. Chris Spielman will join us, NFL on Fox analyst, C-Ball, Hitball. We'll get his thoughts on the growing sense that Ezekiel Elliott's deal will likely be done, although it's not numbers. We're told it's not money as much as structure, but the structure does actually determine how much money you make. Spielman will join us. How much does this affect teams? Brock Huard, I think many of you don't follow broadcasting news the way that, well, broadcasters follow broadcasting news. And Brock Huard popped up on a Fox game this week. You're like, Brock Huard's at Fox. Yes, we got Brock Huard. We will talk some college football. We'll also talk some Seahawks football. Brock, of course, covers their games in the preseason. And I'll get his sense of the Jadeveon Clowney trade, what that means for the Hawks. Mike Sandel will join us in the third hour of the show, senior NFL writer. We got a lot to get to. We got some all-time college football stuff, right? A coach coaching from a gurney. In the things you did not think you'd see, a hospital bed being wheeled into a stadium where a coach will be prone on his back through video conference talking to the team before the game and then coaching. And that might not have been the weirdest thing of the college football weekend. We also have more news regarding the Texans and the trades that they have made. But let's start with the Dolphins. This from Ian Rappaport. The next two drafts, the Dolphins have four first-round picks. Four second-round picks. Two third-round picks with the potential to get an additional third-round pick via compensation. This from the Miami Herald. Brian Flores, first-year rookie head coach, 38 years old, came over from New England. When asked if the team was, quote, tanking after trades, he said this: "This game means a lot to me. I wouldn't disrespect the game with that. We are not. We're going to try and win every game. We're going to come out, work hard. We're going to fight. We're going to play hard and try and win every game. That's what you do. This team is motivated. We've got some talented players. We're going to get out there and try and win every game." Huh? Brian Flores, Brian, clearly not tanking. No. This is corporate restructuring. That's what this is. This is corporate restructuring. You know, look, you have two choices, Chapter 7 or Chapter 11. Right? Chapter 7 or Chapter 11. That's the big difference. There's Chapter 7 bankruptcy. There's also Chapter 13 bankruptcy as well. But Chapter 7, to explain it kind of quickly, is to Chapter 7 of the Title 11 of the United States bankruptcy governs the process of liquidation under bankruptcy laws. Okay? Chapter 7 is you're done. Okay? You're not having to open any stores. You're not doing any more. Chapter 7 is liquidation. Sell off everything. It's over. Chapter 11, now that's what our president has done four times over, right? That's kind of an accounting trick. That's just saying, like, look, we had this old business plan. It wasn't working. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a little bit of help. We're going to get a respite from paying everybody. We're going to fire some people. We're going to bring in some new people. And we're going to try some, and we're going to try it a different way. And that, by the way, is what the Raiders did last year. at almost the exact same time. Like you open the old internet box today and you see Monday Morning Quarterback and they're doing a year later. The Bears still can't believe a year later that they got the Raiders to do this deal. Meanwhile, like, look, last year this time, people were saying you can't get 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack because then you got to pay him $90 million. The Bears did. The Bears benefited, but so too did the Raiders. Opened up cap space, gave him 2 first-round picks. And whether you want to use that as the prerequisite, as the look at what the Dolphins are doing, or whether you want to look at baseball, the Houston Astros, who once again are in place. Justin Verlander throws his 3rd no-hitter of his career. He was basically 1 pitch away from a perfect game. But the Astros are in position to win another World Series, or at least compete for another World Series. They did this. Go back and look at 2013. They got a Blutarski on their home TV ratings. And you can sit there and go, well, they changed. I don't care. No one watched because they were the worst team anyone had ever seen. And what'd they do? They drafted through volume of top picks. Some of them hit, some of them missed. And then they went and added pieces like Justin Verlander and others in order to make one World Series win and maybe another one. Go and look at basketball and the process of what the Philadelphia 76ers have done. So we don't have to call it tanking. We can call it chapter 11-ing. It feels like chapter 7, where they're just selling off everything and they have no shot, but that's not the reality of it. Did you know this? 15 of the last 16 seasons in the NFL, a last-place team from a division became a first-place team in the division the very next year. Now, it won't be that quick a process. And the reason we're seeing it done more and more is because the old way of trying to fix it on the fly, it's just too hard. It's too hard. The salary cap is limiting. You got to have more younger players under that rookie control. And look at every one of these teams that have bottomed out and how they're trying to rebuild. I mean, even the Raiders. The Raiders probably get out of the Derek Carr thing this year, and then they draft a quarterback who saves them a whole bunch of money. And if you're looking at the division, like, how different is this from what the Jets were trying to do? Granted, the Jets didn't draft particularly well, right? They just cut Jakai Polite, who was their 3rd-round pick, but they got rid of their general manager. Their plan was still the same. Get a bunch of draft picks, get a bunch of cap space, let's try and get a young quarterback, and by the time Tom Brady retires, which does feel sooner rather than later, we'll be loaded up with so much talent. Even Tom Brady, though. And even you go back and it was a different era and different finances and whatever, but Tom Brady, a 6th-round pick. Can you find a way to get a guy that's not going to cause you to have to pay him $30 million, $35 million? Can you load up on talent? I mean, look, the Minnesota Vikings haven't won a Super Bowl, but they've been super competitive with the exception of, 2 years ago when they had all those injuries and Sam Bradford had 1 good game and then he got hurt. The year before, they had all those injuries, the offensive line. But how are they built? They had Teddy Bridgewater, who didn't cost them a ton of money, and they had an awesome roster around him. And they were hoping that Teddy Bridgewater could eventually become a starting quarterback, like a franchise quarterback. He wasn't. He was just okay. And they lost on a missed field goal from Blair Walsh against the Seattle Seahawks. But that was an immensely talented roster, built the same way that the Dolphins are trying to rebuild themselves, the same way the Raiders are trying to rebuild themselves, the same way the Chargers rebuilt themselves, the same way the Colts rebuilt themselves. As much as it feels worse when you miss in the draft, the difference is when you miss in the draft, you cost yourself $2 million. When you miss in free agency, you cost yourself $20 or $30 million. This is the way. And everybody knows it's the way. And for the Dolphins especially, like, when was the last time they were actually good? Like, really good? And the Dolphins have looked themselves in the mirror and said, we are the New York Knicks. We are chasing around the ghosts of Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, Don Shula, and Dan Marino. And you know what? Dan Marino's not walking through that door. And the way to do it is with culture, is with character, is with draft picks. And if somebody wants to give us a ridiculous amount, two first-rounders and a second-rounder, for Laremy Tunsil, who's really talented, but it's not like he plays like the best left tackle in football, you could have him. What Brian Flores is doing is the first rule of Tank Club. Right, you guys know what the first rule of Tank Club is? Don't talk about Tank Club. Second rule of Tank Club is don't talk about Tank Club. So it's not what he says, it's what they do. And oh yeah, by the way, he does want his guys to play hard. He does want them to compete. Because much like John Gruden last year, he's looking to see which guys are grabbing a bucket and trying to get the water out of the boat and which guys are like, going down anyway. Going down anyway. And the guys that grab the bucket will hang around for year two and year three, and the guys that don't, they'll sink with the ship and they'll be jettisoned off as soon as somebody wants to trade for them or as soon as their contract expires. That's all they're doing. So I know we look at the Texans and Texans are doing the opposite. They're panicking. They're freaking out. They got no GM. That means a new GM's probably coming, and they're trying to patch holes, and they're trying to fix them the fly, and they won 11 games last year, and now they're going to go for it without Andrew Luck. But slow and steady wins the race. And it doesn't mean that they'll land the quarterback of their dreams, where it's Tua or otherwise. But this process of tanking, of Chapter 11-ing, of trying to restructure from the ground up, I don't know if you know this, that Brian Flores, like, he actually laid into his guys because they parked in handicapped spots when they were running late. Which sounds like the worst thing on earth, and then you realize, like, all right, well, if you play for the Dolphins for a couple years and you realize no one who's handicapped actually comes to work at the Dolphins facility, which is kind of set way out away from Fort Lauderdale, whatever. Like, I do actually understand it. But to him, it was more about what it says about your character. Are you on time? Are you doing the right thing? You know, you build these little habits. Flores, much like Gruden, much like other coaches, they brought in, they said, look, if we're going to do it, it's going to be the long play. Tear it down, fix it back up. Let's not lay new tile over old tile. Let's get up that old tile and put down some hardwood floors. Let's scrape it down to the absolute studs and redo it. Because otherwise, it looks like, many of you looked at houses over the weekend, it looks like a house that's been partially redone, which means it's partially undone. And scraping it and starting over is usually the best way if you have the finances, if you have the wherewithal for the long play. Not everybody has that. All right, upcoming next. Three-time All-Pro and NFL on Fox analyst Chris Spielman joins the show. What does he think about the Dolphins tanking? Plus, should the Cowboys give in and just pay Ezekiel Elliott so they can get him ready for week one and my fantasy team can win a game? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. So look, I said this last year when Jalen Hurts transferred to Oklahoma, that if Jalen Hurts can win the Heisman this year, that makes Lincoln Riley officially quarterback Jesus. Right? And it's not because Jalen Hurts hasn't shown himself to be a very good quarterback with great Alabama teams, but he's just not the thrower. He hasn't shown himself to have the accuracy of either of the two previous Heisman Trophy winners, Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. He had 302 yards of total offense by halftime. By the end of the third quarter, Jalen Hurts had just three incomplete passes, 493 yards of total offense. By the way, Kyler Murray had a single game high of 478 yards of offense in his Heisman Trophy season. But Jalen Hurts had 332 yards of passing, 20 of 23, 16 rushes for 176 yards. Six total touchdowns, three passing, three running, in his first game in a 49-31 win. Now, let me first let you breathe before you start going, oh, I can't believe those stats. Remember, this is the perfect storm, okay? You have an up-tempo Oklahoma with an average at best defense going up against an up-tempo Houston team with a below average at best defense. So you're going to have more possessions and terrible teams defensively. Right, these are stats on steroids. Every stat is going to grow because there's more snaps now than there have ever been previously, especially when you have two teams trying to play fast. Right, the old trying to play fast thing and it hurting your defense. If you watch college football this weekend, that was a big part of the story. Right, Florida State raced out to a big lead over Boise State, but they had all four or less play drives, with the exception of one in the second half. They had 1 8 play drive in the second half, and that was their last drive of the game. The rest were four or less plays. And you're talking less than a minute on the field most times. And so your team gets tired, your team gets gassed out, and it causes your defense to become shoddy. Well, that's what happened with Houston. Right? Houston lost their best defensive player to the draft, fired their coach, and Dana Holgorsen, who's never been a prolific defensive guy, he's an offensive guy. So before we sit there and crown Jalen Hurts as the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, let's get some perspective. It's a bad Houston team. It's a good Oklahoma team. And oh yeah, by the way, we shouldn't be that surprised. Jalen Hurts was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year in 2016. Now, was he surrounded by great players? Absolutely. But remember, he started 16, he started 17. He played in the national championship game and then only got replaced late by Tua. And he still played in split time last year and did win them the SEC championship game against Georgia. It's not like he was Mitch Trubisky, who we never saw for 3 years, like just didn't play. This dude started from the day he walked in at Alabama. He won the job as a true freshman. And then you factor in that he's playing against a terrible defense. He's playing with a magnificent mind as an offensive coach, a system that more fits his style, a system where he's going to get the ball more, throws that are easier, reads that are easier. Plus, it's not like it's the first time he's read a defense. So I guess we're supposed to be surprised by Jalen Hurts and how well he played. But the truth is, what are we surprised by? He was damn good at Alabama. He's a damn good college quarterback. He's just not Tua Tagovailoa, right? He's just not that dude. That dude is a freak. That dude is ever bit as athletic, far more accurate, just a better pure quarterback. Right? They don't say tank for Tua because the NFL thinks Tua stinks. Jalen Hurts is a great college quarterback. Tua has a chance to be a great college and maybe professional quarterback. Maybe. He's still small, left-handed. There's no left-handed starters. That's a bit of a switch. There's other things. But we're acting like Jalen Hurts got beat out by some bum or that Jalen Hurts was a bum. Like, no. There was just a ceiling there with him in the biggest of big games. They would make him throw into tight windows, and he just wasn't that accurate. He could always run. He could always throw. But he's just better on the move and better in a college offense and better in this type of air raid offense. So I get that we're supposed to be surprised. I look at what Lincoln Riley's doing, but this is what Lincoln Riley's done with essentially every quarterback he's had. And he takes a guy who's a former SEC Offensive Player of the Year, who's had 3 years to study under all of the different minds at Alabama. What did you think you were going to get? And by the way, Houston stinks. Houston stinks. It's the NFL story that just won't end. The Ross and Rachel of the league we discuss next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, live from Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. Uncle Colin's back tomorrow. I'm sure he'll do what Colin had right when Colin had wrong, even though it's a Tuesday tomorrow. Happy Labor Day to you. Summer over. That's okay. Fall, the best. Weather's better. Travel's better. Kids are in school. You got time to breathe during the day. Work. If you travel, it's way better now. Sports is better. Baseball matters. Football's on television. Basketball's right around the corner. Actually, Team USA playing as we speak. Fall's better. I don't want an endless summer. Good, my summer coming to an end. I'm good. So I grew up in the city of Orange in Orange County, California. Right? It's kind of interesting. Like my mom went to Syracuse. My dad went to Syracuse for a year, or maybe a semester. I'm not sure. My dad's favorite color was orange. We moved out to the city of Orange in Orange County. All of the teams I ever played for growing up that my dad coached, because it was his favorite color, we wore orange. And then ultimately I played for Oklahoma State that wears orange. And now I have a pretty good tan, maybe a little bit of orange to me. I'm not sure. Anyway, the city that abuts Orange, one of the cities that abuts Orange is Tustin. Now, that's where I went to high school. And Tustin is a mix. North Tustin is more estates, you know, half acre to an acre, sometimes even 2 acre lots. Beautiful, beautiful area. Some horses up there. More south and central Tustin, blue collar. You had the Tustin Air Marine Base that has these big hangars that used to house blimps, right? And now obviously there's actually regular people housing on it as the base is no longer there. So you had everything from military families, blue-collar families, all the way up to the nicer side of the tracks, which was... And I remember when I moved back, I was looking at homes, and I was like, man, these homes are amazing, but they're all built in like the late 70s, mid-80s. Who would buy these? Right? And some Rams used to live there. LA Rams used to live there. Some Angels used to live there. Now a lot of the Angels live down by the coast, live on a golf course. You know, and my real estate agent said, dude, it's the 80s. Who do you think lived here? Doctors and lawyers. Like, I want you to think back to when you were a kid. And if you're anywhere between, and sorry, if you're in your early 20s, maybe you don't get this, but 35, 45, 50, right? And maybe even you get to 30. When you were a kid, the persons whose dad seemed to have the most money and have the nicest house and was killing it was the doctor who went to the Ivy League school, you know, and went to medical school, or the lawyer, right? Doctors and in the 80s, it was about doctors and lawyers and maybe an accountant. Those are the people that made six figures, and six figures, now it's a big thing, but then it was a huge thing. Now I want you to think of the jobs that kill it now. You know, you start an app and then you sell your app. But really, it's the financial sector. And yeah, there's also commercial real estate, regular real estate. But the financial sector now is what the lawyer was to the 80s, or the doctor was. Now doctors have to carry all this insurance. Doctors had to pay so much for their medical school bills. Like, man. It doesn't mean that doctors don't do well. They still do very well. They still make into six figures. You're making a couple hundred thousand dollars in any city in America. That's a good thing. Plus, you're your own doctor. Hey-o! But the top end is more limited. There's some top, like, plastic surgeons, right? There's some top heart surgeons. But it doesn't feel like you go into medicine to get rich anymore. You go into medicine because You want to help people. You're fascinated by it. And you want to make a good living. And you will make a good living. There isn't. The floor is very, very high in the medical practice, in medical practices. But the ceiling's much lower. Whereas financial guys, you know, in Orange County, again, where I live, where I grew up, those guys at PIMCO, the bonds guys, silly money. Owning your own company, crazy money. Like obscene money, CEO money, obscene. Tech, startups, Facebook. I have friends that moved to Idaho and they're like, you know, Idaho's business is booming. Everybody moving out of California to Boise. What do they do? Tech, huge tech industry. Right? That's why San Francisco is the most expensive city to live in. It's not because the doctors and lawyers are killing it. It's because the tech industry. And just like the business world has changed, so too has professional sports. Right? In basketball, it used to be built around your center. Now it's not. Was it because the center would break down? Sure. But also because as basketball has evolved, there's less efficiency in throwing the ball into the block and watching Patrick Ewing sweat all over his opponent and shoot a fadeaway. I feel like running backs, as we're waiting on Melvin Gordon, I don't know if you guys saw this story of the weekend, but the Chargers basically said in like 3 days, there was Melvin Gordon saying, you know, they don't want to pay me more. I'm dug in. I'd like to play, but I'm not going to play. That was a leaked report from his camp. Then it was the Chargers saying, hey, feel free, pursue a trade. Because what the Chargers know is, in their heart, Melvin Gordon's a good player. They probably value him as much or more than anybody else. Now he's a team not going to give a first-round pick or maybe even a second-round pick for him, but even if they do, then they have to pay Melvin Gordon the $13 million a year or $14 million a year he's expecting when the Chargers were at 10, which is more than they want to pay. So then yesterday came out, the Chargers were like, you know what? We're done doing contract talks. You're under contract for the next year and another year, your fifth-year option, just like Zeke. If you want to show up and play. Otherwise, we're going to fine you because you're under contract and you're not showing up. Cowboys continuing. They're on again, off again. Are they going to get this deal done? And I do feel like they ultimately get the Ezekiel Elliott deal done. But now it's over language. And they can say it's over language, not over money. But the language is all about the money. Well, you know, that's just being cute. Well, you know, the third year or fourth year being guaranteed, the team is about the language. No, what the team is saying is we don't want to guarantee every penny. We just saw what happened to Todd Gurley. It's the same situation over and over again. We got no problem. If you can stay healthy and be productive all 4 years of the contract or all 3 years of the contract, we'll give you the money. We just don't want to guarantee it because you're a running back. You break down. You take a beating. You're not as valuable as you used to be. Star running backs make a good amount of money. Like Ezekiel Elliott can sit here and go like, man, poor house, not making much. You do know that he made $16 million his first year because of where he was drafted, where he was slotted. Right? Did that go reported? Was that nobody reported that? Which, by the way, and granted, it spreads out over time. He was the highest paid player at his position before he ever took a snap. Now, the next 2 years, he doesn't make a lot because it evens out. And then this year he does. And then next year he makes a lot more in the fifth year option. But they're sitting there going like, man, we were doctors and lawyers and we used to have the nicest houses. And, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, every NFL team was built around one of these dudes. Bears, Walter Payton. Lions, Barry Sanders. Niners. And we all talk about the passing game, Roger Craig, high knees, right? Eric Dickerson with the 49ers. I mean, Eric Dickerson, sorry, with the Rams. The Rams went from Eric Dickerson to Jerome Bettis to Marshall Faulk. Like, they would just, and that was their guy. Now, Marshall Faulk obviously was a hybrid guy, but they would always be built around their running back in many ways. And times have changed. Now, just like, you know, the plastic, you know when you fly, you're on the airlines, and they have like, these are the top 10 plastic surgeons in the country. I don't know who selects that, but like the top plastic surgeons, they all look like they're just, I know one of these guys and he is a really good looking guy. And I don't actually think he's done any work on himself, Man, he's just a good looking, like the top guys in there, they still get a lot of money. But if you're going into school now, or you're trying to come out of school, you're like, man, how can I make a killing? How can I have a couple of commas next to my name? Tech or finance industry, right? That's it. That's the deal. That's where the huge, huge money is. Huge money. And I feel like running backs are the doctors and lawyers of the 80s, that they used to have the biggest house. They used to have it going on. And now they're watching the tech guys and the finance guys, in many ways, guys less educated than them. Right? I have a neighbor, he's in the finance industry, and he had a good education, but he came out to Southern California, followed a girl out here, and met a finance whiz while he was tending bar because he didn't have a job. Like, that's not how doctors have to go through ridiculous leaps and hurdles in order to become doctors. So you're sitting there as a doctor and lawyer going like, wait. I had to get straight A's in high school, straight A's in college, get an awesome score in the LSAT or the MCAT, then get into a really hard and really expensive medical school or law school, pass it, and then as a doctor, then you have to do your residency program, 80 hours a week, and now I'm making 250? Right? And that's Zeke looking at Dak, going like, wait, he's like the 15th best quarterback in the league and he wants to make $35 million a year? And here I carried my high school team, carried my college team, I've carried this team, like they're strictly based upon my skill set, and I'm going to make less than half what he's making per year? And you know what the answer is? Yep. Because life's not fair. Right? There's the one to wake your kid up. Morning, son. Morning, father. Any words of wisdom, father? Yes. No one owes you anything, and life's not fair. Good morning. I get ready for school. Right? This is the teacher argument. Should teachers make more money? Of course they should. Oh, but they get 3 months off. Like, do they? Really? You think they would trade a couple of months off so they could actually make a living wage? I would guess. They got to put up with your bratty kid? I would guess. They had to go to school. They had to pass their certification. You know, then they had to pass, know how to do CPR. They got to put up with all your emails. Oh, but you only work from 8 to 3. Really? You think they show up at 8 and leave right at 3? Of course they don't. I didn't say it's fair. This is just how society has decided we pay certain people. All right, Mike Sando joins the show upcoming next. We got a lot to get to. He's a senior NFL writer. What are people around the league saying about the Texans going for it and having Bill O'Brien make these interesting decisions? Plus, how do the Dolphins tank? How does the Dolphins tanking sit with others in the league? We'll discuss next in The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.